tuning in again today, and we welcome you to The Harvest. It's so good to see everybody here today that's watching online and on this podcast today. I want to encourage you right at the very beginning, if you know of somebody that might want to jump in on this thing, why don't you go ahead and just send them a real quick message and bump them a little bit, nudge them and say, hey, jump onto this thing and let's tune in and see what God has in store for us today. I'm very excited about this broadcast, this particular episode, because we have with us a couple who the Lord has called to missions. They started out really in one country. Now the Lord's getting ready to send them to another country. So we're going to hear a little bit more about that. But for the last several years, we've been able to partner with them and support them in prayer and finances, of course, and different things that we can do to just bless them and be part of what God has put in their lives. And I want to welcome to our broadcast today, Nathan and Tara Anders. So welcome, you guys. It's great to have you.
Thank you very much.
Hi,
thanks for having
you.
Us.
Absolutely. Well, you know, with all of this is going on with COVID and the different things that people have done in ministry as far as missions, I know a lot of nations have shut down. There's not a lot of travel going on right now.
Right.
So you guys are right now in the States. You're not in another part of the world. But when we first met several years ago, the Lord had placed in y'all's heart to go to a foreign country, and I'll let you describe kind of the process of how it went from one to the next and kind of some stories there. So where is it that the Lord first put in your heart to go, and then you ended up pivoting and going to another country? What are those countries?
Well, I spent a year working in Afghanistan as a security contractor, and I began to see the people as people instead of a statistic or as an enemy or something along those lines. And God really birthed in my heart the love for the people of Afghanistan. So we wanted to go there. However, there was nobody there to receive us. So our national office asked us to go to Dushanbe, is the capital city of Tajikistan. So
Tajikistan,
we went there.
Where is that located?
Right on top of Afghanistan. It's about a 4-hour drive from Afghanistan border. You can be in Dushanbe.
Got it. So, I mean, real close. Got it. Okay. That
really
makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a bordering country on the north.
Sure. And so how many years were you there? You ended up, so the Lord put that on your heart, and
right.
Obviously you had to go through the process,
right.
And you know, the process is not easy, but
right.
Once you got to Tajikistan, is that right? Tajikistan?
Yeah, Tajikistan.
I probably wouldn't do well living there. I would probably just, you know, stumble all over that. But when you got there, what are maybe some stories that you might want to share with us that what the Lord did there? Maybe you got some people that you might want to mention, some situations where the Lord, why did you go? What was your responsibility there? Were you doing a church plant? Were you, you know, working at a college? What is it that you were able to do there?
Yeah, well, our focus was for church planting, but in a Muslim world, in Islamic State, it looks a lot differently because they're not open and welcoming to any kind of what we would think of outward, like street crusade or passing out tracts or anything openly. So whenever we arrived, we got enrolled in a private language school. So our visas and everything, we were there as students, and you're left to making relationships, building friendships, talking with people, looking for those people of peace that you can share the gospel with and pray that it takes root, that they'll want to ask more questions, yeah. that they'll want to learn more, spend more time with you, and then prayerfully that would multiply as a small group could grow and grow. And so we had some very dear friends that we would spend time with. I will say there was one sweet lady that I spent a lot of time with, and she was a good, strong Muslim. She was strong in her faith. And so she had also read the New Testament. She had read the Bible because she had been taught that if you are a good Muslim, you respect other religions as well.
Right.
And man, did that give us great conversation.
Yeah, sure.
And a wonderful way to throw in and put together those Bible stories with her questions, with the difficulties in life. She was not in a happy marriage. She was not treated well like many women are. And so God really, really blessed that time. Yeah. He also gave us an opportunity to do an English club. So once a week, we would have young people older teenage, young adult age, and they would come to our house once a week to practice their English. And so we would use proverbs from scripture or different virtues of following Jesus as our topic for discussion. And so they know we're followers of Jesus Messiah, and they would keep coming, and they would come early. They would stay late so they could ask questions. At different times they would come, so they knew where our house was, right? Because they'd come once a week for that. And they would come once a week, or not once a week, but they would come in during the week if they needed some. We gave out a pair of shoes once. We prayed with a young man about what to do next for school. There was just all kinds of things where we became that White House, that they knew where they could come when they needed something. God really blessed it, really blessed it.
So when you went to Tajikistan, I've heard this from other missionaries. A lot of times, if you go to a place that's not, let's say, not embracing of the gospel, maybe it's a heavily Muslim country like that, you have to almost go with a reason to go, like I'm going to be a teacher, or I'm going to be a, you know, you're contributing some way to their society. It's kind of like, you know, I'm going to be a teacher, but I'm also going to share the gospel sort of thing. How did you get into Tajikistan? If they, I mean, what reason did you give them? This is why we're here.
Right. Yeah. Well, in the beginning, you go in on a tourist visa. We're welcomed in. And then in that time, you move into, for us, a student visa, because we enrolled in a language center that was approved by their government. They were our liaison for language. So that's what we were under. In your first term, then you're basically, they encourage you to find an aid organization you might work for, start a business. Different things that were there that we really probably can't say too many details, because there are some workers that are still there doing these things.
But absolutely.
In our conversations with people, we would often talk about, we were drawn there because of their love for family, the dynamics of how they live. We wanted to learn more about it. We're eager to see what God would show us of what could be a good business or a good organization for their country. So that would often be our explanation, because they were surprised that we would leave America.
They ask us how to get to America. Could you sponsor us to get to America?
Oh, wow. Wow. You know, it's really something, because you're going there and you're ministering, and it's what I'm hearing from you, both of you, is that you're not just sitting back waiting for it to land in your lap, but you got to get out there. Engage, right?
Yeah.
Look and see what opportunities are out there. And as a result of that, the Lord then was able to help you to connect with some people. And he has those assignments, doesn't he, in our lives, where there's people that we need to talk to and share the gospel with. And it takes us getting up off of our couches and out of our fear and out of our comfort zones and getting out there and making a difference.
That's right. Even when you're tired. Even when maybe you don't feel the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes we'll talk about, we really feel the movement of the Spirit or something, or we feel strong in that. You don't always feel it, but God is always there. So even when you're tired, even when you don't feel it, he's ready to move.
That's so good. Yeah. So you spent how many years in Tajikistan?
Just not quite a full term. We spent about 2.5 years there.
Yeah.
So now you're back in the States, and the reason is, you can't go back to, how is it that you ended up going to this new place? Kind of help us understand this transition. What's going on here?
Yeah. Well, you know, the same way all those students coming to that English club knew where we lived, the secret police also knew where we lived. And there were some other different things. It's kind of a laundry list of things that suddenly turned into a no. Everything in preparation to go, God gave us so many confirmations. Yes after yes, open doors, symbolically, girls on the altar of our daughters. I mean, you know, we're ready for whatever was to come. But then as time went, it just continual closed door. Yeah. And so my train just fell off.
Well, you were going to Tajikistan, and all these doors you say were opening up, and then they closed. But now it seems like the Lord, when God closes doors, sounds like he's opened a window here.
That's right. And so whenever it was time to come back, the time kept growing. 5 years, maybe we can get into Afghanistan. 5 to 7, maybe 7 to 9. And then ultimately they let us know that it wasn't going to be in the foreseeable future that we could come in, that it was going to be time to come back and pray about where would God have for us?
Sure.
And that's when we learned about so many incredible ministries.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a grieving process for sure. And God doesn't waste anything. And that includes COVID. And I think that although it's been very difficult, God used it for us personally as a gift of time to have some healing of a closed door. And you get an answer and shake out a lot of those questions before the Lord of, but God, you called us. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then the door closes for us and our heart was for Afghans and everything pointed to it. But then one thing our district superintendent actually said recently in one of leading time that he gave, he talked about that God gets you on the way from A to B, but you can't see the next step sometimes, the C. On your way to the B, he redirects you in a different direction to the new location, the C. Mm-hmm. And so you go actually from A to C. And so we don't understand all of it, but we were able to process some of the nutshell of it is that God will do what he wants when he wants to, and that we learn to be submissive and trust him and that he is a good God. And that if he's closing that door, what he has on the other end of the new open door, just like in Acts chapter 16, where Paul is wanting to go into Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit prevents him, not the devil prevents him. The Holy Spirit prevents him from going, and he goes a different way around through Turkey. And he goes into a place, ends up at Tras, which happens to be the most strategic place when he gets the Macedonian call. They said it when I was looking at commentaries, my wife was sharing this with me. It was the most strategic place he could have been to then launch to the Macedonia area for them from the Macedonian vision and call that he had.
That's so good. And you know, if Paul would have gotten discouraged at that intersection where God, the Holy Spirit, was keeping him from going, and if he'd have gotten discouraged and given up, think about what would not have happened if he had just...
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Europe, you know, and ultimately the West being evangelized.
Exactly. So. Yeah, wow. So what a profound thing. And see, Paul didn't know that at the time. He didn't know that closed door was really a redirection, a detour, so that the West could be opened up to the gospel. He could have gotten discouraged. So the Holy Spirit is telling someone right now that a closed door is not necessarily a bad thing.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. And that God is tender and faithful to stay with you through the transition.
Yeah.
When those closed, so let's talk about that for just a minute. I think we need to just kind of, let's just plant our flag here for another couple of moments. What would you say to someone that's watching here today that says, Lord, there's a closed door. I felt like that this is where I needed to go, but you just shut the door in front of me. What do you say to someone like that? And how would you encourage them?
Well, I would say trust the Holy Spirit. One thing that I've learned, the Holy Spirit is fluid. Nothing is white or black in a lot of issues. It's fluid. It's an open door. It's a closed door. But all along, it's the path that God has, in his infinite wisdom, already seen for us.
Yeah.
And so I would say, trust the Holy Spirit. Be flexible when the closed doors come. Because what happens is if we see that as a closed door and we're rigid, then progress is stopped. But that's not the way water moves. Water moves around its obstacle and goes right around. And when we're flowing with the Holy Spirit, now, do we have those physical emotions of grieving and hurting if there's a door that we want to go there? Absolutely.
Sure.
But like she said, trust God through that and trust the Holy Spirit to direct our path.
That's so good.
You know, there was a phrase that we would say, it was actually shared with us from a mentor helping us through the transition. Mm-hmm. And it's not really profound, but it makes a big deal to us.
Yeah.
And we would say, if God wanted to do it different, he would have.
Yeah.
So I think if he wanted to do it different, he would have. And so I think such a big deal when that door gets closed and you thought that was what was supposed to be for you is that we really ground ourselves in some maturity in what we believe in.
Yeah.
And if we want to get huffy and fussy and throw in the towel, you know, and quit right where we are because it didn't go the way we wanted to, I don't want to sound rude, but that's just such a big way to just be in rebellion. It's just turning our back on it. It's just saying, forget it. Since it didn't go my way, I'm not in. And faithfulness with him, that loyal love back is really what's going to get us through it.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like that there's I feel like that as we, it's a test for us, you know, it's an opportunity for us to see God's faithfulness. And here's the thing, you know, we see what's in front of us, but God sees the big picture, right? We all know that. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that, because sometimes we want to be God and we want to say, well, God, you told me. And so you're going to, and we kind of hold him to his word. But like you said, God's fluid. The Holy Spirit is fluid, and he's going to move us around. And so I like to use the phrase, sometimes it's good for us to be a Gumby for Jesus. You know, be a Gumby for Jesus. I move me how you want to. I'm not going to be rigid here. I'm not going to be some stuck in the mud thing where I'm just locked in. Now, there's times that I am going to have my roots deeply grounded, and I'm going to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Those sort of things. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to God ordering our steps, we need to know that he's got the big picture in mind, and we're simply vessels of him, of his, for his use. And here you are in Tajikistan and wanted to go to Afghanistan. He's closing the door and he's saying, now I'm sending you to Papua New Guinea. What?
That's right.
I know.
Where'd that come from? I mean, that's the first time totally we've mentioned it in this broadcast here, but you told me that before we started. And Papua New Guinea is nothing like Afghanistan. Talk about what's getting ready to happen there.
Well, there is a small Assembly of God church there in Papua New Guinea, and we're above board missionaries, where before we were not known as missionaries. Yeah. And so we've met and had meetings with Brian and Renee Webb. They're the area directors of Pacific Ocean, and they spent 23 years in Vanuatu, which is an island country there close by Papua New Guinea. And so,
and Papua New Guinea, for people that need to know what geography is all about, it's just north of Australia, right?
Yeah, it's right on top of Australia. It's actually it and I think Greenland fight back and forth, or Iceland fight back and forth on who's the largest or the second largest island in the world.
Yeah. So, okay. But it's down in the South Pacific, deep in the South Pacific, just north of Australia.
Yeah.
Totally different. So, well, what's the opportunity there that God has opened up for you guys?
Well, over the last several years, there's only been one Assembly of God missionary unit from America there. There is one other from Fiji, Assemblies of God. They've sent a missionary there, and they are part of an administrator at a Bible school there. But they have, the one unit that's been there, the Rojaks, have done incredible work. But his schooling, his mentoring, he's a Bible school professor. Yeah. They've done Bible school professor and Bible school teaching there, and also pastor development. Yeah, that's what they've done, and some children's ministry and things. But what our leadership has asked us, they like that we're willing, because we love to camp, we love to be outside, we love to hike, we love those things. They said, would you be willing to go into the bush and do church planting in the rural and hard to get to areas of Papua New Guinea? Because it's very, there's not a lot of infrastructure. There's actually one main road. There's a lot of small little roads here and there, but there's one main road that runs around the backbone of the country called the Highland Road. But they said, literally, you're going to drive your speed the light car to the end of the road. You're going to get out, put on your backpack, and your family's going to hike the rest of the way in.
And it sounds like there's no running water or electricity where you guys are going to be going. Is that accurate?
Crazy primitive. We were told it's this far. My little finger's this far away from the Stone Age.
Yeah, we'll live in a city. And there's five regional Bible schools. After our language and learning time, we're going to travel to each one of them. We're going to pray about where God would give us chemistry and where we sense that God is moving us. We'll move our family to that Bible school. We'll be in the daily life of that Bible school, mentoring and discipling. Five students at a time will be given to us. We'll become like family with those Bible students. Every weekend, we'll go out into the bush to the same area over and over until the church is planted. We'll bring a volleyball net and volleyball, set it up, ask the chief for permission to hang out with the kids. Yeah. Over time, do a kids service and then grow into a youth service and then an adult service. Yeah. And we know that God's word does not return void. It says in Isaiah 55:11. So we know that people will come out of the darkness.
Yeah.
People will turn their lives to Jesus. And we will see a small church planted there. We'll be a part of that, partnering with those Bible students. And then the prayer and heart is that one of those students will become the pastor. And he'll move his family there, and they will do that. Him or her will move there.
And then an indigenous church partnered with the local church, and we'll move on to the next place.
Yep.
Unbelievable. You know, you're talking about being flexible like water, and from everything you described in Tajikistan and that environment, and then everything you just described for Papua New Guinea is completely opposite. And really, yeah. What you just described is completely opposite from most of what's going on here in the United States of America, yeah. where all of us enjoy running water and electricity and, right. you know, stuff like that. I'm excited about that opportunity for you guys. But I'm sitting here, I'm trying to imagine what the viewers are thinking right now. And it kind of goes back to that whole thing, because you guys both, you're laughing, you're smiling, you're joyful, you're excited, you can't wait. And I can imagine some people looking at you going, yeah, and they're also crazy.
Yeah, they do.
So talk to those people that are thinking right now that you've just lost your mind. Why are you doing this?
I know. That's what it seems like. But we're those kind of people to start with. We love adrenaline. We love excitement. We're just excitable personalities to begin with. We celebrate everything. We have as many parties as possible. But I think what God has really put in us with that pairing with us, what He's made us, because He's made us like this. But we recognize that He's put in us this desire for access that's challenging. So when we went through that transition, we met and heard about so many incredible ministries, and we wanted to be a part of them all. You know, we're motivated. This that God's called us to, it's not going anywhere. That's not dying. Just changes doesn't change what God's called us in to global missions. But then whenever we learned about this, that Papua New Guinea is one of the least explored nations in the world. There's so much vast terrain. There's mountains and jungles and rainforests and coasts and lowlands. Right. I mean, and there's 8.5 million people, and only 13-15% live in those cities. So that's 7.5 million people out in what they call the bush. And it's hard to get to them. And it's dirty and it's difficult and they're a little scary. So when we heard about this, it was like the Holy Spirit turning on a bright light in a dark room. So we're
and you said, sign me up.
made in us. Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We high-fived and we knew that it was it. We were weeping. Yeah. We got around, talked about it.
Amazing.
What I would say to people like that,
take the challenge. Risk it.
Whatever God has gifted you with, use your gifts. Because for me, sitting behind a computer all day, I couldn't do that. But like Tara's mom, she's a computer programming coder. That's what she does, what she enjoys.
She loves
to read books. She loves to sit and do those things. I would go crazy if I had to sit behind a computer. So I would say that whoever's dream or calling won't look like mine, maybe. And if it does, come with us. We'd love to have you come. Short-term trip coming in the summer of 2022. But use what God has given you, your likes, your dislikes. There will be suffering. There will be some things that stink. I mean, don't get me wrong, to take the gospel to places that it's not, it will require us to lay down some of our preferences. But as a whole, that is where God's desires in us, and our desires come alive and match, and then we go and work in what God has given us.
And there's the place in God's kingdom come for every talent, every gift set.
I love this because what you're saying is, you know, everybody's wired differently, and so what your passions are might be someone else's, like, no thanks. But then their passions are, you would be sitting back going, yeah, that's not for me. But all of us working together, it makes a complete work of the gospel be accomplished. I need those computer people to do actually what we're doing right now. If we didn't have computer people and techno people, we wouldn't be able to have this conversation right now. So thank God for people like that, right? Yeah. But then also thank God for people like you guys that are willing to go out into the bush and do all that stuff that you just described. And so all of us together, we should be excited. We should celebrate what we have in our lives to say, Lord, God has given me this passion, this ability, and this opportunity to just pour out my gifts and to spend them all for the kingdom of God. And maybe that's where we need to kind of pivot here and move into a time of prayer, you guys. I feel like there's some people that are out there watching this that are saying, all right, I have these abilities, and I'm not a missionary. I'm not going to go to the bush. That ain't for me at all. No thanks. But that's not all what missions is all about. But there's people out there, you guys, that have, you know, coding abilities. facilities and who knows, all kinds of stuff that they may be looking at it saying, how can I use this for the kingdom? I'm passionate about it, but how can I do this? And I feel like what the Lord is saying to people that are watching here today is just as he's made a way for you, and you got so excited about that sign-up sheet about Papua New Guinea, and I would imagine that of all the people that were there in that room, that you guys were the only name on that list. Sign me up for, but for other people, they were signing up on other lists, you know, sort of thing. So I would love for you all to pray for the folks that are watching here today that have these abilities, these passions, this desire to want to do something for the kingdom of God with those things that God has instilled in them, how they're wired, and that the Lord would then open up the doors, that they would be flexible like Gumby, move around like water, and not be stuck in it saying, well, I can only do it this way. But there's all kinds of ways that God can use our abilities for his glory. Would you pray for those folks right now and just let just God get a hold of them and give them some aha moments in their life, some open doors and some opportunities for them to use whatever skill sets that they have for God's glory? Would you do that?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus, we invite you here.
Yeah.
We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Wash over every one of us.
Yes, Jesus.
Bring our focus on you. Jesus, I pray that even now as we bring this in, that we each give an examine. Just give a self-review. What all can I do? Push out the lies that want to say it's not much, and really push us to have discernment and look at what are my gifts? What are my skills? What are my talents? What do I enjoy to do? What do I find myself moving in the direction of? And then I pray that you would bring things into our path and opportunity to understand where that can be put into practice for your kingdom come. God, I pray that we would look to worship you in obedience, Father. Lord, I pray that all those that are electricians and HVAC and refrigerators and plumbing and just anything with construction, that they would recognize they can build a church and they can build structures and they can dig wells and they can do all of that anywhere in this world. And that computer work can be done at all the international churches in all countries, all over. And that evangelists are needed, teachers are needed, nurses, doctors, dentists, everything, therapists, physical therapists, occupational therapists, just the entire gamut of everything there is for us to do here in America can be done anywhere in the world. Proclaiming you as the Savior, proclaiming you as the one true God, proclaiming you as the way, the truth, and the life, salvation. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would move us to search the internet, to get in conversation with our leadership at church, to see where in church can I serve? What can I do? Let's not just wait till something else later. Let's move. Let's be active now. Let's not waste time. God, I pray that you would put something like a fire within us, like what Jeremiah talked about, like it's in our bones, like we have to move because it can't be contained. I pray that's what we would be invigorated with. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, energize us for your service, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we just love you. We thank you for all of this opportunity. Now, Lord God, I pray specifically for those that are not called overseas.
That's right.
I pray specifically for those that have gifts and talents to go to those that are hurting, those that are alone, those that are maybe in rebellion or are hard-hearted right now, or those that are hurting, those that are desperately feeling so lonely and it feels dark, like there's a shadow over their life. I pray that you will raise up counselors, Lord Jesus, to help those out of the darkness, that you'll bring encouragers like Barnabas. Lord God, I pray that you'll bring supporters to the pastoral staff. I pray that you'll raise up new pastors out of there to go to new places there. Lord God, I pray that you will use them in every way. Those that open the door on Sunday mornings and give the best smiles to those that come in. So when a new family comes in, they feel the warmth of your love immediately when they come into that church. I pray, Lord God, that you will open their eyes and their hearts to everything and let them, as Tara said, inventory the gifts they have, and may you thrust them by the power of the Holy Spirit like a thrill ride right into where you want them to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we continue to pray, I just pray a blessing over Nathan and Tara. Father, as we all just extend our hands out to them on the screen that we're watching, Lord God, that you'd bless them, watch over them. Lord God, I pray that you'd give them favor, that you'd open up doors for them that no man can open or close. Holy Spirit, that you'd anoint them and empower them and equip them. Give them workers, Lord God, to come alongside them. God, I pray that everywhere that they set their foot in the bush in Papua New Guinea would be holy ground. And God, that your anointing, that your presence, that your power, that the reality of Jesus Christ would permeate in those villages and in those neighborhoods and those places, Lord God, wherever the Ander family goes. And I praise you, Lord Jesus, that you're going to just do through them what you're doing through all of us, and that is expand the kingdom of God through our talents, our passions, and our abilities as we make ourselves available. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, listen, Nathan and Tara, if people want to get in touch with you, there's a link that we have right at the bottom of our screen where they can reach out to you, and we're able to connect in some way to just be a prayer support for you, or some way we can encourage you. And so we just wanted you to know that we're here for you guys, and people can communicate with you in that way. So we want to thank you guys for being with us today. We look forward to hearing the good report from all that's going to be happening in Papua New Guinea. And so hopefully we can visit you again sometime down the road and maybe get an update on that. But for all of you that are viewing this today, we want to thank you for being part of this broadcast on The Harvest. And keep in mind that God has placed in you a talent and an ability to bring glory to God, and to bring strength to his people, and to expand the kingdom of God. And we pray that you will find what that is, and that you'll serve the Lord in that area with all of your heart as unto him. Thank you again for tuning in, and God bless you until the next time, and thank you for joining us in The Harvest.